And we're holding on Mem Gimel Amud Bey's three lines from the bottom. We have very, very little Gemara, relatively speaking. Mem Dalet Amud Aleph is short, and Mem Dalet Amud Bey's is even shorter. But there's an enormous amount to talk about as far as the meaning of the Gemara. So we'll definitely have what to fill up the time with. We're in the middle of talking about the matter of Hefker. We had in the Mishnah the case where Reuven is also to have Anah from Shimon, and we said that Shimon can put food on a rock or a fence and declare it Hefker, and Reuven is allowed to take it. But we said Rabbi Yossi says that not, and we discussed why Rabbi Yossi would say that. So now let's talk about some dinim as far as Hefker and see how that relates to the Machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Hamafkir Sadeu, when a person declares his field Hefker, Kol Shloisha Yomim Yochal Lachzabai, anytime during the first 3 days, he can change his mind. Now, what does it mean? Now, first of all, why 3 days? That we're going to see soon. That we'll discuss soon. Why it is? Why the Chachamim made this 3 day grace period? But what happens during those 3 days? Now we have to keep in mind, if a person declares his field hefker, one thing that happens as a result of that is that the produce of it is potter from truma and maaser. As we're going to say soon in the Gemara, you had Ramoyim, you had dishonest people who would try to use that as a loophole to get out of giving Truma and Maaser. They would declare their field Hefker, and then they would go and reacquire it right back from Hefker. And therefore, because of that, the Chachamim took away, the Chacham said that you have to wait 3 days for Hefker to take effect. So now, what happens during those 3 days? So now the Ran learns that it means that suppose that before the 3 days are over, he does change his mind and say, I actually want my field back. Then the Ran learns that if somebody else had taken possession of that field during the 3 days, nothing would happen and it would actually return to the original owner. The Rosh discusses that not and says that actually it may not be that way. It may be that he has the ability during the 3 days to retract, and if he does, then it means that he still continues owning the field. It's not considered a new acquisition of the field, but the Rosh discusses, good morning, Ellie, the Rosh discusses that it's possible that if somebody else took possession of it during those 3 days, it might actually be effective, and that person would be able to keep it. One point is, again, you know, we have to talk about whether the Hefker was effective as far as him being able to. Now, obviously, if it remained Hefker, if nobody took it, then obviously he can take it back himself however long he wants afterwards. The difference is we wouldn't call that taking it back. We would call it that he's making a new acquisition on that field. So it would mean that the produce of the field would be potter from Meiser if we said that the Hefker was effective. I actually haven't seen in so many words anybody saying this, but it's possible also that it would mean that he would have to make a new kinyan on it in order to acquire the field. In general, in order to acquire a piece of property, a piece of land, you have to make some kind of chazaka on it. Well, actually, the fact that you have to make a chazaka, actually, Rashi, the Mefarish over here, makes that point here in the sugya. But So yes, if he wanted to reacquire the field, if we consider that the Hefker was effective after the 3 days, we're saying, and now he wants it back, he would have to do a new chazak on it. He would have to start digging in it again or do one of the other things that constitutes a chazaka in order to be koina of that field. Otherwise, if somebody else comes and does that first, that other person is going to get it. But it could be also that it means that would be relevant as far as the dinim of the other kind of chazaka, the 3 year chazaka, where we know, where, you know, ordinarily, where we a person has a 3 year chazaka on the field, then if somebody else comes and claims that this field is his, then you have every right to tell him, no, this one is mine. I had it for 3 years. You ask him, where's my shtar? You know, you can't expect me to hold on to my shtar for 3 years. Whereas if he had made it hefker and then reacquired it, and if we were to consider that the hefker is effective, and now it's a new kinyan, might be that the clock resets as far as that matter of the 3-year chazaka. I haven't found anybody saying that in so many words, but that may be the case. Anyway, the point is, again, this person declared his field hefker. Midrabanan was saying we want to wait 3 days before the hefker takes effect. So in that 3 days, he can change his mind. So the Ran says he can change his mind even so far as that he that if somebody else took possession of it during that time, then the original owner would tell him, no, I'm taking it back, and you're and whatever you did to be machzik and it is ineffective. According to the Rosh, the Rosh says not necessarily, and the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam to be agreeing with the Rosh on that, that if somebody else that if somebody else took it during the 3 days, they get to keep it. All it is that during the 3 days, if he changes his mind, then we say it's not a new chazaka that he's doing now. He doesn't need a new chazaka to reacquire the field. It continues where his original ownership, his original possession of the field continues as it was. After 3 days, he can't change his mind. And after 3 days, the chazaka the hefker is effective. So now after the 3 days, even the Ran, of course, would agree that after the 3 days, if somebody takes possession of it, then it remains theirs. And even according to the Rosh and the Rambam, it would mean that, fine, he can take possession of it if nobody else did, but it would still mean it's potter from Meiser. And it would also mean that he would have to do a new act of chazaka on it in order to make it his. What we should probably do over here is we should probably learn at least the first Ran on this Gemara inside, because it'll make a lot of what we're going to be saying further on in the Gemara more clear. So let's look inside and at the Ran Tanya Hamafkir Sederu and learn it inside. So Tanya Amafkir Sederu Kogimu Yom Lachsaboy. So the Ran says, Ra'isi Shmuazu Shalanis Barra Yofa B'divahar Shonim Zal. I've seen that this state, that this discussion in the Gemara was not clearly explained by the Uliyu Rishonim, Zchonim Lebracha, Lofi Ani Yastaiti, as far as I can tell. V'chach Nira Lib Pirusha. So the Ran says, this is what I think is the meaning of this Sugya. Kol Shlosh Yom Yochal Lachsaboy, Mikan Ve'elach Yochal Lachsaboy. We're saying that during the first 3 days, he can change his mind. After that, he can't change his mind. Midika maflik b'seifa. So since we see, now the Braisa is going to go on to make a distinction. We haven't learned that part yet, but it's going to be on Memdalet Amud Aleph, that there's a distinction between the first part of the Braisa, we were talking about, he makes it hefker, open-ended. The usual way, when a person says something that is hefker, he says that it's hefker indefinitely. Now, the next part of the Braisa is going to talk about the case where he makes it hefker only for a period of time. So then the Braisa is going to say that there's a distinction whether somebody else took possession of it or not. So the Ran says, midikom maftig b'seifa, since the seifa of the Braisa is drawing a distinction, that if he says this field should be hefker only for 1 day or whatever periods of time mentioned in the Braisa, then ben zocha loloi zocha, and then Braisa goes on to draw a distinction between whether somebody else was zoicha in the field in between or not. The katani, the Braisa says sha'ad shaloi zocha yochal lachzavoy. It says before somebody else was zoicha, the original owner was able to change his mind. When we should zocha in yochal lachzavoy, and after somebody else took possession, he's not allowed to change his mind. Now, the Ran points out, here in the Reisha, it's not making any such distinction. In the Reisha, the only distinction is between before 3 days and after 3 days. So again, the Reisha is talking about an open-ended hefker. The Sefer is talking about a hefker with a time limit on it. But even in the Reisha, we're saying there is a time involved, namely that until 3 days, the hefker hasn't taken effect. Therefore, shmamin ahochi katani. So the Ran says, therefore, you have to understand the Braisa is saying, when we say kol gibol yamim yochal lachzavoy mehefkeri, that throughout the 3 days he can change his mind from his hefker. That means va'afilu zocha acha kodim chazarosay, means even if somebody else was zoicha in the field during those 3 days before he changed his mind, loy kona, then that other person wouldn't be kodim. Now again, we said the Rosh And according to the Kesef Mishnah, also the Rambam would disagree with that and say, no, that's not what it means. That's not what it means. It means, in fact, that if somebody else acquired it during those 3 days, it would be effective, and that person can keep it. All it would mean is that if he changes his mind, then the hefker was never effective in the first place, which would mean, therefore, that the field is still chayev and meiser. On the other hand, it would mean he doesn't have to do an act of kinyan in order to acquire the field. And possibly, based on what I was saying before, possibly he wouldn't also need a new 3 years of chazaka to establish his rights to the field against any claimants. Anyway, continues the Ran. Now, further on in the Gemara, we're going to explain. The problem was that the reason why the Chachamim made this Takana is because you have people who would be mafkir their field and then change their mind. Since hefker is potter from meiser, therefore cheaters, dishonest people would go and be mafkir their fields, kedelehi potter, in order to be potter from meiser. They were figuring when they make it hefker, they're going to go and take it back.
No one else grab in between.
So that's the point. That's why the Chachamim made this grace period of 3 days. That's exactly the reason why. Because then the person is going to figure, why should I do that? I may gain the meiser, but I'm going to end up losing my field if somebody else takes it. In fact, also we're going to learn on Daf Mem Hei, by the way, at the very end of this discussion, we're going to talk about Midrabanan. The Chachamim said another thing as well. When you're mafkir, you have to be mafkir in front of two people, in front of three people rather, and that way, very likely, one of them is going to take over the field. So now, no Ramoy is going to do that anymore because he doesn't want to lose his field. But up until that point, so the Nimsa, so the Ram continues, so it comes out, we realize, Shaloi Hayef Keren, Elaha Roma Belvad. We realize that after all, they're declaring that Hefker was only meant as a subterfuge, was only meant as a trick in order to get out of giving Maisa. Olaficha Chutzru Choloimar. So therefore, the Chachamim had to say Shem Yizku Bahem, that now if the original owner takes back the field, Lo Yukazoichem in a Hefker, it shouldn't be considered like he's taking it from Hefker, because if it was, then he'd still accomplish what he was trying to with his trick, and he would be potter from Meisim. V'Hutzruchu Gamken Loimar. Now, so the Ran explains, why am I saying? Now, are you saying? I'm saying based on the distinction between the Reisha and the Sefer, the Ran says, I'm saying that if somebody else takes it during those 3 days, they can't keep it. Now, why is that? Why would the Chachamim say that? Why don't they say, why don't we say like the Rosh and the Rambam, that if somebody else takes it during the 3 days, then he is entitled to keep it? So the Ran says, now, they also, in order to back that up, they had to say, that even if somebody else takes it, that other person is not koine, via mafkir, and the mafkir, the original owner, is able to reacquire it during the 3 days. Now, why is that? It's true, of course, if somebody else takes it over, then there's no Ramoyin involved. Obviously, Reuven is not going to be declaring the field Hefker in order to get out of giving Meiser when he figures that Shimon is going to be taking it over. So in that case, why don't we say that Shimon acquires it right away and that's it? It's out of Reuven's possession. The reason is, because without making that second part of the takana, the first part wouldn't stand. It's necessary to have the second part to back up, to buttress the first one, because Shim Yiru Haramoyin, if the cheaters, if Reuven was doing it in order to cheat his way out of Maisus, if he sees Shekshi Yizku by Acher Kona, that if somebody else acquires it, that other person will be kona, lo yishmu l'dire chachamim shehem lo yiknu. Then when we chachamim tell them, you can't reacquire your field and then have it considered that you acquired it from Hefker. So lo yishmu l'dire chachamim shehem lo yiknu. They're not going to listen to us. They're not going to accept that is a valid takon. they're going to think to themselves, look, Shimon was able to acquire it from Hefker during these 3 days. Then fine, during the 3 days, I'm also acquiring it from Hefker. So then the whole takana will fall apart. The whole point is we want the 3 day waiting period so that Reuven doesn't declare the field Hefker and then right away take it back and be potter from Meiser. If during those 3 days, the Ran is saying, if during those 3 days, Shimon can take over the field, then Reuven is going to say, well, if Shimon can take it over, I can take it over. And the same way as he gets it from Hefker, I'm getting it from Hefker. Therefore, I should be potter from Meiser. Another reason why the second part of the Takana, so since you have these cheaters that make things hefter, that make a field hefter in order to get out of Meiser, because of the Chachamim therefore had to make this Takana that you have this 3 day waiting period, Kol Gimel Yomim Enimus Baro Shiyehe Hefter. So it comes out that during those 3 days, it's not really clear yet that it's going to be Hefker. Because after all, you have to consider, maybe he didn't truly make it Hefker, that he only made it as a haroma, but he have a Hefker, and therefore it's not Hefker in the first place. So therefore, we have to say that even if somebody else during those 3 days was zochen it, then the mafkir is able to undo that and undo the hefker, nigmar hefker, because the hefker is not complete yet; it's still kind of in limbo. So those are two. So in short, then, now we have a little better understanding of what we're going to be talking about in the Gemara, and in particular now. So again, the Ran is explaining why it is that. So we understand why you need the 3 day waiting period because of Harama. Now we understand also, says the Ran, why during those 3 days somebody else is not able to get it from Hefker. First of all, because if somebody else is able to, then the original owner is going to figure that he can also. He's not going to accept that the Chachamim made that distinction, and therefore he's going to take it back and think that it was Hefker and that it's Potter from Meiser. Second of all, because the fact is, during those 3 days, we don't even know if it was Harama yet or not. So the result is that somebody else can't be coining it. But then the Ran continues in the next one, the Kanva Elach and Yochalachsaboy, after 3 days, he can't change his mind. So even if during those 3 days nobody took over the field, you still can't accept that he should say, I changed my mind and I decide it's not Hefker after all. After 3 days, you're not worried about Ramoyan anymore. Nobody's going to do that and then leave their field available for 3 days, where after 3 days they know that somebody could take it and keep it permanently. Even if he did make the hefker with in a tricky way, but nobody is going to wait more than 3 days to acquire it, because after 3 days, after all, they could. So therefore, now at that point, there's no concern of Ramos anymore. So now, if he himself takes it over, fine, he can take it back over, but he'd need a new act of chazaka. He'd need a new act of digging in the field or doing something useful with the field in order to be machzik in it. And if not, if somebody else were to come and do that first, then that other person would be machzik in it, and the other person would be acquiring it. So now, at that point, yes, he does get away with giving meiser, because now the hefker was effective. What we're saying, at that point, there's no concern about Ramoyim anymore, because he wouldn't do that knowing that there's a chance that somebody else could take it. He's not going to leave it unclaimed. He's not going to leave it unclaimed for 3 days.
So the Ramos can still take place.
So the Ramos, it's possible for him to still be doing it as Ramos, but at that point, we don't assume that it was for Ramos anymore. At that point, we assume that he sincerely intended to make it Hefker. Not just to get out of Meiser, yes, taking his chances. So, okay, nobody took it because it wasn't a very good quality field, but nevertheless, the fact is that now if he acquires it, it's considered that he acquired it from Hefker, not that it's a continuation of his ownership from before. That's the key point. Ultimately, he ends up in possession of the field, but the key point is, are we considering that it's a continuation of his previous ownership, in which case it's Chayev and Meiser, but in which case he doesn't need a new act of Chazaka, or is it a new ownership? It's Potter from Meiser, therefore, because he got it from Hefker. But on the other hand, he needs a new act of Chazaka, and he has to hurry to do that before somebody else does it.
other hand, during those 3 days, that someone could pull the tractor trailer, empty out the whole field, all the fruit. All the
that is also true. It's also true. So according to the Ran, we're saying that at least as far as the field itself, if he changes his mind during the 3 days, then the other person's acquisition of the field is not affected. You can take it back. The Ran doesn't say anything about the crops of the field. Often we say in the Gemara that things that are attached to the ground are considered like the ground themselves. So in that case, we might well say that if somebody went and harvested all the produce during those 3 days, according to the Ran, we might still well say that he has to return it if the person changes his mind during the 3 days.
Because it takes 3 days to actually acquire.
Because right? we're saying it takes three days for the hefker to actually take effect. In effect, the Ran is saying during those 3 days, it's kind of in limbo. Now again, the Rosh, and according to the Kesef Mishnah, also the Rambam, is saying not like that. Or at least the Rosh is saying a possibility, not like that. That if somebody else does come and take the field during the 3 days, then yes, they can keep it. Because even all we're saying is that during the 3 days, he has the right to change his mind, in the sense that if he, during those 3 days, changes his mind and takes the field back, it's considered that it was his all along. It's not considered there was any break in his possession. Therefore, he doesn't need a new chazak on it. Therefore, he doesn't need a new act of chazak on it. But the Rosh is saying, and again, the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam to be saying the same way, that if somebody else does come and take the field during those 3 days, that's it. They get to keep it. So they don't hold this whole svara that we mentioned, that the Ran says that the two things are interdependent. They would say, I guess, that yes, we're going to have to make him understand, look, somebody else is able to take it because there's obviously no harama involved. You didn't declare the field hefker as harama in order for Shimon to take it. Harama would have meant that you want it back yourself. But you yourself, we're going to prevent you from taking it because, after all, we have reason to think that you were doing it only because of harama. That would presumably be their svara.
It takes three days.
That's what we're saying. It takes three days for that part. Everybody agrees to. The machlokas is what happens if somebody else takes it during those 3 days. Does that person get to keep it or not? That would be the Ram says no, and the Rosh and the Rambam say yes. Going on, the Gemara continues. So now let's go back to the Gemara. Now that we went through those Rans and have a bit of a clearer understanding of what the Gemara is going to be talking about, so let's go on. The Braisa continues, top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Omar Tehei Sodeh Zumufkeres L'Yoyim Echad. What if, on the other hand, the person says a time-limited hefker? Again, in the ratio we were talking about, he says it's hefker, where as far as we're concerned, it's going to be hefker from now indefinitely. All we're saying is it takes 3 days for that hefker to take effect. During those 3 days, we're saying it's kind of in limbo. Now, on the other hand, here we're talking about where he puts a deadline on how long it's going to be hefker for. Omer, Tehei Sodeh Zumufkeres L'Yoyim Echad. Suppose he says that this field should be hefker only for 1 day, or l'shabbos achas, or for 1 week, l'chodesh echad, for 1 month, l'shana achas, or for 1 year, l'shavua achas, or for 1 7-year cycle, for 1 shmita cycle, then there's a difference. Ad shaloi zochaba, before anybody else was zoche in it, bein hu bein acher, whether he himself was re-zoche in it, or whether somebody else, yochol lachzabai, then he's able to change his mind. Mishazochaba, Bein hu bein acher, once somebody has taken possession of that field, whether he has or whether somebody else has, ein yochol lachzabai, then he can't change his mind. So he said that this field is going to be hefker for 1 day, let's say. Or any of these other cases. So what he's saying is, the Rosh says, if nobody takes possession of it during that time, then it should be considered mine as it was at the beginning. Then, in other words, it turns out that the hefker was ineffective. So now we're saying if somebody took it during that time, then it would mean that he can't undo that. Then it would mean that he can't undo the hefker.
It's for a week only.
That's the thing. If somebody took it during that week, that's what we're saying. So here you have actually Rabbi Akiva Eger mentions that Rabbi Akiva Eger understands the Rosh over here to be saying exactly that yes, that person would actually be able to keep the field, would actually be able to keep the field for good. So he says that yes, since also the Rashash points it out on our Gemara over here that yeah, All it means is that when he says it's hefker for a day or whatever, what he means is during this day, it becomes possible for somebody else to take possession of this field. If nobody has taken possession of it during that day or whatever, then it goes back to me. So now if somebody took possession of it during that day, then in that case, they can keep it. And they say that after all, we're learning from the concept of Shemitah. And so what happens with Shemitah, your produce is hefker for the year of Shemitah. And we don't say that after Shemitah is over, they have to return that produce to you. So by the same logic over here, if you said that it's hefker for a day, then if somebody took possession of it during that day, then they can keep it.
Yeah, but after Shemitah goes back to you.
No, after Shemitah, the field goes back to you. They never took possession of the field in the first place, but they took possession of the fruit.
Oh, if somebody get this whole case?
No. When it comes to Shemitah, there's no matter. When it comes to Shemitah, the field itself is hefker only insofar as people can walk into it. The actual, they can walk into it and they can take the fruit. The actual field itself still belongs to you. Right. So there, we're not talking about making the field hefker. We're talking about making the fruit hefker. But the point is, we're saying if somebody picks your fruit during Shemitah, they don't have to reimburse you for it after Shemitah. Well, by the same logic, then, if here the person declared the actual field hefker, therefore the logic is that if they took possession of it during the limit, during the time when the hefker is in effect, then they can keep it.
The fact that he said that it's hefker for a year or for a month, it's just that if no one takes it,
then it means I have it back.
Otherwise,
it means that somebody would be able to take it in between, right? That's what we were saying before. The Ran was explaining, according to his Shitta, that since over here we're making a distinction whether somebody took it or not, whereas in the first part of the Braisa we did not, that's what led the Ran to say that in the first case where there was an open-ended hefker, the 3 days means that nobody can actually take permanent possession of it during that time. If they do, then he has the right within the 3 days to say, I changed my mind and I want it back. So now, what's bothering the Gemara about this Braisa? Let's analyze it in view of the opinion, in view of the machlokas of Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim that we learned about yesterday. We said that in the Mishnah, when it comes to the Mudr Hana, we said where Shimon, from whom Reuven is also to have Hana, puts the food on a rock or something, we said that the Tanakama will now allow Reuven to take it and Rabbi Yossi will not. And we discussed why that should be. So we said Rabbi Yochanan understood Rabbi Yossi to have a svara of the mechanism of how hefker works. That we said, according to we usually understand that hefker is, you have this thing used to belong to me, now it belongs to nobody, and eventually you take it and it belongs to you. So you have three stages in it. We said, according to Rabbi Yossi, we would understand, according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yossi, that hefker really only has two stages. It was mine and it remains mine, just that it's available for you to take until you actually take it and then it becomes yours. There's no time, we said, according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yossi, there's no time when it actually doesn't belong to anybody. All it is by declaring it a hefker, I'm saying you have the right to take it whenever you want.
Absolutely.
So now, and then we said Rava disagreed with that svara and he understood Rabbi Yossi's opinion in the Mishnah differently. Now, let's assume, says the Ran, that we understand Rabbi Yossi the way Rabbi Yochanan does, that hefker only has, that you never have this time when it doesn't belong to anybody. It always belongs to either one person or the other. So now let's reanalyze this braisa in the light of that. So now what is the reisha saying? When it was an open-ended hefker, we said that you have 3 days during which the hefker is not in effect yet because of the ramoim, as we're going to talk about later. But what happens if somebody does try to take it during the 3 days, according to the Ran, not effective, according to the Rosh and the Rambam, yes. So it seems the first part of this braisa is according to the Rabbanon. Because again, we're saying that during the 3 days he's able to change his mind. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, of course he'd be able to change his mind. It still belongs to him. By definition, Rabbi Yossi is saying, according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, that when you declare something hefker, it's still yours until somebody else takes it.
Yeah, but someone came took a.
No, so one second. The point is that the Reisha, which is saying that during the 3 days he can change his mind, would have to be according to the Chachamim. even though they're saying that the mechanism of hefter is that it actually leaves your rishus during those 3 days, it's not considered to have left your rishus by the takana of the chacham. According to Rabbi Yossi, what kind of 3 days? If you left it hefter for a week, then nobody take it, it would still, it hasn't left your rishus as long as somebody else hasn't taken it. So that part has to be according to the chachamim. The sefer Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, the sefer that mentions where he makes it hefker for 1 day or whatever, we're not concerned about Ramoyin apparently, because if he meant to do it as a tricky thing, if he meant to do it to get out of giving meiser, he wouldn't have given a time limit on it. He would have just said it's hefker open ended, the normal way. So the fact that he said that it's hefker for only 1 day, etc. In other words, let's consider, if he was really doing it as harama, if he's saying I'm declaring it hefker, and then he plans to take it back, there'd be no reason to put a time limit on the hefker. So obviously, by putting a time limit, he means a sincere hefker. Well, so in that case, it means for that period of time, it is hefker. And we're saying, now, the Ran says, it is true that it's true that we could make that work according to the Chachamim as well. However, when we say in the Braisa, when we say that before anybody was zoicha in it, he can change his mind. That seems to be only according to Rabbi Yossi. Why can he change his mind? Because it hasn't left his rishus yet. Because by his definition of hefker is that it never left his rishus until it comes to somebody else's rishus. According to the Chachamim, if we say that this was sincere hefker and it really left his rishus, how would he be able to change his mind? So if the Braisa is telling us that he made it hefker for 1 day and during that 1 day nobody took it, then we're saying that as long as nobody has taken it, Yochalachsabai, we're not going to the Chachamim. Why Yochalachsabai? As soon as he declared it hefker, and we know that it was a full-fledged hefker because it can't be Harama, he wouldn't have put a time limit on it, then it means that it's out of his rishus. Well, then fine, he can take it back, but that would be making a new kinyan on it, a new chazok on it, rather than continuing his kinyan of before. So that part of the braisa seems to be like Rabbi Yossi. So that's the question, therefore. So it's true that we could make the Braisa work that way. We could understand that the first part of the Braisa is according to the Chachamim and the second part according to Rabbi Yossi, but we try not to do that. We try to make that one Braisa should work according to one, not necessarily both. You can have a Braisa according to one opinion, but it should work according to either one or the other. We shouldn't have that different parts of the Braisa are according to different Tanoim. So that's what's bothering the Gemara about this Braisa. So Oma Ula, Sefer Nami Rabbanim. So Ula says, as a matter of fact, the ratio we've established goes according to the Rabbanim. Because again, in the ratio, we're saying that during the 3 days, he has the ability to change his mind. But after that, not. We said that can't be like Rabbi Yossi, because according to Rabbi Yossi, if nobody picked it up after the 3 days, it still wouldn't be. It still would belong to him. We're talking about within Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yossi. When we had before Rava's understanding of Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, that it wasn't that it's not hefker, it's just we made a gzera because matnas beis chorin, then that wouldn't be relevant to our Gemara over here. Matnas beis chorin, we have the whole story in beis chorin where a person had a neder that his father was also kind of enough and he's making a wedding. Yeah, we're going to learn it again on Daf Mem Fes. Anyway. So we're talking within Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yossi. So the ratio we said has to be according to the Rabbanan. The sefer we're saying fits better according to Rabbi Yossi, because that's why, even though it was a full-fledged hefker, nevertheless, he has the ability to change his mind before somebody else was zoicha in it, because Rabbi Yossi says, as long as nobody else was zoicha in it, then it still remains in his possession, because that's the mechanism by which hefker works, that it still remains his until somebody else picks it up. Well, now, so the question is, again, that the Braisa is partly according to the Rabbanan and partly according to the Yossi. So Oma Ola, Sefer Nami Rabbanan, he. So Ola says, as a matter of fact, the Sefer is also according to, is also according to the Rabbanan. So Ihochi Amai Anshalai Zochabamin who went Acha Yochalachsaboy. So why is it then that we're saying that he could change his mind until somebody else takes it, or when he takes it? The reason is shiny shun of a shavur de l'shchifi. Because different when it comes to making hefto like that and saying it's only for one day or only for one week or what have you is an unusual kind of thing to do. And therefore, we're not going to assume that. So since it's not usual for people to make something hefto like that, so the Ran says, it means that he still wants to have a certain possession of it until that time. He wants to have his hefker work like the way Rabbi Yossi says normal hefker works. Normal hefker, Rabbi Yossi is saying, remains his until somebody else takes it over. Here, in effect, what he's doing is he's trying to make his hefker be like the way Rabbi Yossi is saying that hefker always works, that it should be considered to be mine until somebody else takes it. And then once somebody else takes it, it's theirs. But if nobody else took it during that time, then he can change his mind because that's the t'nai under which he made this hefker. So that's one way of learning. The Tosfos says it somewhat differently. Tosfos says that gri, it's like a weak kind of hefker. It's a weak kind of hefker that he should say that it's only for a day or whatever, and therefore we have different rules for it. The Rambam also said that Rambam has yet a different lashon on it. He says it's an unusual kind of thing to do. Well, and the Ran also said it was an unusual thing to do, but the implication seems to be the Rambam would say that because of that, Chacham didn't make special takanas about that. Chacham usually make their takanas only for typical situations, not for something unusual like that. Anyway, that's Ula's answer. So again, according to him, both the Reisha and the Brei and the Sefer of the Braisa are according to the Rabbanon. In the Reisha, we understand it's definitely according to the Rabbanon. That is why we're saying he only has 3 days to change his mind, and after that it's gone, even though nobody else has taken it yet. Because according to the Chacham, to begin with, when you make something hefker in the usual way, it leaves your possession right away. The only reason we're making the 3 days is because of harama, to avoid people doing harama. So therefore, once 3 days are over, and now you can be certain there was no harama, then therefore that's it. It's not in his possession anymore. And if he wants to take possession of it, he's going to have to do a new act of kinyan to do so.
The first answer of Ola
was to make it go according to the Chacham. Yeah, the second answer is according to the Rabbanan. Yeah, we're going to have Rish Lakish's answer yet, which is going to make it work according to the Yossi. But again, within Ula's answer, so we're saying again, the Reisha clearly goes according to the Chachamim. That is why he only has 3 days. According to Rabbi Yossi, he should have as long as he wants, as long as somebody else hasn't taken it. In the Sefer, because he made a time limit on the Hefker, therefore we're going to say that it depends whether somebody took it or not, because again, even the Chachamim are going to say, as the Ran says, we understand him to be making a different kind of hefker. We understand him to be making a kind of hefker which is like the way Rabbi Yossi says hefker normally works, that it remains his until somebody else takes it. And therefore, so if nobody else took it, then it still remains his. And therefore, that's why we're saying that until somebody takes it, Yochel Lachsavoy. Okay. Rish Lakish Omar. Rish Lakish gives a different answer. Midisefer Rabbi Yossi, Reishinami Rabbi Yossi. No, we're going to say the other way around. The whole Bryce, since you have to say, Rish Lakish doesn't want to accept that answer of Ola's, that there's a difference between an unusual kind of hefker and a usual kind. Since the Sefer is according to Rabbi Yossi, then the Reisha also has to be according to Rabbi Yossi, again, because we want the Bryce to go all according to one Tanya. According to one Tana, the Reisha, Hainu Taima, the reason why in the Reisha we say that it's ineffective for 3 days, we don't want people to forget about the concept of Hefter. Meaning, in other words, Rabbi Yossi would say that really you could change your mind after 3 days. According to Rabbi Yossi, it should be open-ended. As long as nobody else has taken possession of it, then you should be able to say that this isn't hefker after all. The problem is, the Ran says, then people are going to think that even if he didn't change his mind and somebody else took it over, we would say he's not getting it from Hefker. We would think, in other words, that he's not getting it from Hefker, he's getting a present. And people are going to think, therefore, that he's chayev and meiser. So on the contrary, the problem is, before we were talking about Harama, where people, before we were talking about, and we're going to talk about in a minute in the Gemara, about people who are marim, people who are trying to play a trick over here in order to be potter from meiser. He was saying, on the contrary, if we're saying, if Rabbi Yossi would be saying in the Reisha of the Braisa, that if we say that this is like normal hefker, and we say again, Rabbi Yossi is saying that hefker that remains in the first person's possession until the second person, and it remains in the first person's ownership until the second person takes it, then we're going to say, so if somebody took it after 3 days, we would think that he's not getting it from hefker, he's getting it as a present. Well, if he's getting it as a present, certainly if Reuven gives a field to Shimon as a present, then Shimon is chayiv and meiser. So people are going to think that this is in fact chayiv and meiser. The problem is, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, that you're going to have now something which is really potter from meiser, because he really did get it from Hefker. You're going to use it as meiser on behalf of other produce, which is actually chayiv and meiser, and then you're going to, and that's no good. So therefore, because of that, Rabbi Yossi is saying that even though it's true on a Daraisa level, Rabbi Yossi is saying it ought to be, he can change his mind as long as he wants, because as long as somebody else hasn't made a kinyan on the field, then it still remains in his possession. But Rabbi Yossi is saying after 3 days, we don't want to do that. That way it'll be clear that it was Hefker. People won't forget about the concept of Hefker and think mistakenly that it's actually Chayev in Maestris. That's how the Ram learns. The Rosh learns differently. When we say Lotus Shtakach Teras Hefter, on the contrary, people are going to think that Hefter doesn't pater from Meiser at all. People are going to think that just because you made something Hefter, it still remains Chayev and Meiser. So therefore, so now Midrabanan, they made it Hefter and patered it from Meiser.
That's actually a good gzeir. This way, there won't be any remorse. If you take something from Hefker, you have to pay.
The fact is, though, the Chachamim can make something. So the Chachamim can the Chachamim have the power to make something. They can say Hefker based in Hefker, but they don't have the ability to say if something is Potter from Meiser Daraisa. They have the ability to say it's Chayv and Meiser Darabonim, but not Daraisa. Because so you're still going to have, if you have this thing is Potter from Meiser Daraisa, then you still don't want people to think that it's actually Chayiv Meiser Daraisa, and then they're going to end up using it the wrong way. So yeah, here what's going to happen is people are going to think that Hefker Bechlal doesn't Potter from Meiser. They're going to think you made a field Hefker, it's still Chayiv Meiser Daraisa, and again they're going to end up using that as Meiser on behalf of other produce, which is in fact Chayiv Meiser Minatoyva. So therefore, says the Rosh, therefore, in fact, the Chachamim made it Hefker, Drabbanon, and patered it from Meiser. So yes, Midaraisa would be Chayev. As the Gemara is going to go on to say soon, what you're going to have to do is when you take Meiser for this produce, you're going to have to make sure you take Meiser out of this field's own produce rather than using from some other field. You can't use from some other field on it or from it on some other field, because then you're going to be mixing up between things that are Chayev Daraisa and things that are Potter Daraisa. Yeah. So according to Rish Lakish's understanding, the Rosh goes on to say that it comes out the Rosh is saying in effect that Rabbi Yossi is making two gzeiros d'rabbanan over here. Number one, that we make because of matnas beis chorin, and we want to make sure that the hefker is really sincere. And number two, we don't want that people should think mistakenly that hefker is potter from meiser, and therefore we have this 3 day limit in the reisha. And after 3 days, we're saying, even though nobody has taken it, Rabbi Yossi is going to say that at that point, the Chachamim declared Hefker, I, Daraisa, would be still in his possession until somebody else takes it. But Midrabanan, we're saying 3 days, and that's it.
But after 3 days,
if he himself takes it back, he's taking it from Hefker. It'll be Potter from Meiser, but it means that he needs a new act of Kinyan.
Right, but he gets away with...
Yeah. So again, so according to the Ran, loy teshtakach Torah's hefter means you're going to think that people are going to think that it wasn't hefter, it was a present. And according to the Rosh, it means people are not going to realize that hefter is in fact potter from Maisa. So the Gemara asks, Yehochi, I feel me yoyim arishin nami will have a hefker. Well, then in that case, why 3 days? Then why not say on the first day already it should be considered hefker? Why, if you're going to tell me, again, if you're going to tell me like Ula did, that the Braisa is all according to the Rabbanon, so fine. The Rabbanon would say, on the contrary, that really it should be hefker right away, but they were saying wait 3 days. But according to Rabbi Yossi, on the contrary, if we're saying that it should be, that it should remain in his possession indefinitely until somebody else takes it, and only we're saying that during 3 days, then nobody else, then that during 3 days, it's not yet fully hefker, why after 3 days, according to him? The answer is Omer Rabba b'nei HaRamoy. And so now Rabba says what we've been discussing all along is because of the cheaters. Demafkirin v'hodrin behind. They declare it hefker and then they change their mind right away and take it back. So to avoid that is why we make this 3 day period. The Ran points out, by the way, that it's true. The Chachamim, as we're going through the discussion over here, we'll get back to that point in a minute. So now the next five words of the Gemara can be understood as a question or as a statement. The Ran understands the next five words, Abel Daraisa, why have a hefker? You're telling me that Daraisa, it's not hefker. Don't you have a problem? Don't you have a potential problem with that? If it's chayev only Darabonon, but not Daraisa, then that's going to lead to a problem as far as giving Maisa from one on behalf of the other. According to the Rosh, this next statement is a statement. It's part of a Shlokish statement that, in fact, it is only, since the whole reason was Shalot Ishtak of Torah's hefker, so people don't forget what hefker means, and the hefker, in fact, is potter from Meiser. The fact is, Daraisa would not be hefker. It's hefker only drabbanon after the 3 days. So the question is, so that's what we're saying. We're making it hefker drabbanon in order that people should realize that hefker, in fact, that when something is truly hefker Daraisa, then it's potter from Meiser. So in the same way over here, the Chacham said it's hefker drabbanon and it's potter from Meiser. So the question is, well, if you're going to have that, then if the Chachamim are making something now that it's chayiv in Meiser only drabbanon, then you're going to have a problem that you're going to end up taking Meiser from something which is chayiv deraisa on something which is potter or vice versa, and that's no good. And the answer is the amrile kima asauta asur mine uve. You're right. In a case like this, we would have to tell him, when you take Meiser, take it out of the produce of that actual field. Don't start taking from something from, now like this, you could have, let's say, for example, you have, let's say, a crop of grain where you grew in two different fields. Normally, you could say, sure, you could say that the total amount between the two fields is 100 bushels. So I'm going to give two bushels, I'm going to take two bushels of grain out of one of the fields and give it on behalf of both of them, and so forth with Meiser. But here we're saying, because some of what you own is Chayav Daraisa, and others only Drabbanon, then you're going to have to take separate Meisers from each one. Yeah, it was a similar kind of thing, by the way. We learned way back in Shabbos. It comes up here and there throughout Shas. You have a case when you grow plants in a flower pot, where we said that if the flower pot has a hole in it, then it's considered, if the flower pot has a hole in it, then the produce in it is considered that it's actually attached to the ground because it gets nourishment from the ground. But if not, then not, and then it's only chayav d'rabbanan. So you have the same kind of thing over there, that if you're gonna take Meiser for it, you have to take out of that. Out of the contents of the flower pot itself, you can't take Meiser from something else on behalf of it, or vice versa, because again, you have one is Chai of Daraisa and the other only Drabbanon. In this connection, the Ran mentions a point. He says that actually, it's true that Hefker based in Hefker. Therefore, the Chachamim could have just said that he's Potter, but he's Potter from Meiser. Or rather, we could have said what the Ran says is, given that in the case we're talking about over here, the Ran learned, remember, when we said Shaloi Tishtakach Teres Hefker, he learned that it meant that actually it is not Hefker Daraisa, but we're declaring it Hefker only Drabbanon. Well, in that case, the Ran says, then one of the Chum just patter him from Meiser. And the reason is, he says that the Chachamim, when they declare it hefter, they don't want to do it to be makel, to take away the chiyuv of meiser. They own the fact is you chayev in meiser on this minat Torah. So therefore, we don't want to take away that chiyuv, even though yes, we have the ability as Beis Din to declare hefker Beis Din hefker, and then that hefker will be effective even on daraisa level and on reporter from meiser. The Chachamim did not want to do that. They wanted to make that to the extent it's hefker, only insofar as that somebody else can take it, but not insofar as Patu and you from Meiser. So therefore the result is it's gonna be chayev, but only Dirabanan, because Daraisa, or on the contrary, here we would have that it is in fact chayev and Meiser Daraisa, because it is in fact chayev and Meiser Daraisa, because Daraisa it's not hefker, only Dirabanan is it hefker, but they still make him that he's chayev in Meiser. We're saying it is hefker, therefore that should change the status of it as far as Meiser. However, we're going to leave the status of Meiser, but it's only going to be Dirabanan. Now it's going to change from Daraisa to Dirabanan. And therefore, we're going to have Meiser from it itself.
There's two ways
of learning within what the Gemara is saying, the Rosh and the Ran, yeah. Worth mentioning in this connection, by the way, you have this kind of, now here we're talking about in our sugya, we're talking about making it hefker in order to get out of Meiser. Now you have other cases in halacha where a person is making something hefker, where you're talking about metaltlin so do these same rules necessarily apply lav davka? For example, it talks about in Shulchan Aruch, about the case, morning. Talks about in Shulchan Aruch the case where you have let's say an animal that you rented out to a goy to do work with. Now you have a problem. Can he do work with it on Shabbos? No, it's your animal. So what do you do in order to make it possible for him to do that? So one possibility is you can be mafkir the animal. But then you have the problem, as we're saying in the Gemara over here. Once you're mafkir the animal, can't somebody else take it? So you have so you have some discussion about that. Maybe the whole concept that we're saying over here about all these things with the 3-day waiting period and all of that maybe only applies when you're concerned that he's doing it in order to get out of Meiser. Here you're not, because obviously there's no Meiser involved with an animal. So maybe you would be able to make it hefker in such a way that nobody else can
you do that?
One second. Came in the middle of it.
You came in the middle of it.
So what we're saying is that conceivably, therefore, you would actually be able to. So here you're talking about that the Chachamim want to prevent you from making it hefker under certain circumstances, and they're going to play around with the dinim of hefker and say when it is or when it isn't hefker. In a case like that, though, we would say, not necessarily, we would say that since it's not a matter of trumas and maisras, therefore the Chachamim are going to allow you to, for example, we talked about in the Gemara before, you're making something hefker only for a day. So the same thing over here. So you go and you be mafkir it. And now the Ramah actually says that when you mafkir it for Shabbos, nobody else can take it because it's meant to be understood that you're only doing that in order to avoid the Issu Shabbos. So therefore, because otherwise, after all, you rented out your animal to a goy, he wants to be able to work with it on Shabbos. So in other words, it's like the case we talked about over here of making a hefker only for a day. The Alter Rebbe actually makes an interesting point. He says it's not just that you make it hefker only for Shabbos. You're making it hefker only as long as the goy is using it on Shabbos. Well, as long as the goy is using it, he's not going to let somebody else take it. And if the goy stops using it on Shabbos, then it still belongs to the owner, because the tnai was that's hefker only as long as the goy is using it. That is why it would be effective. So there we have cases where you're making something hefker, and it's not relevant here in our Gemara. We're talking about fields where it's relevant as far as Truma and Meiser, but we see that in other areas of Halacha, the rules for making something hefker are in fact a little more elastic. The Chachamim are not going to impose such strict rules about those because you're not doing it as harama in order to get out of Meiser. Similarly, you have discussion about, for example, when you're making your hefker, your chometz hefker on Pesach. Now,
I was going
to
ask you about
that. So midaraisa, you would be able to. Midaraisa, all you need to do, you're not a good window. And he's, have a seat. Okay. Midaraisa, you could be mafkir your chometz for Pesach, and that's that. midrabbanon, we don't want you to do that because, as the Gemara explains in Pesachim, shem yimtze gluska yofa, you may find a nice loaf of bread around your house and forget that it's Pesach and eat it. But if you declared your chametz hefker, then the chachamim are figuring that you're declaring that hefker may not be fully sincere. But if it weren't for that, then again, also you could be. So there also you have, you're being mafker only for a period of time. If you're mafker your chametz, you're being mafker only for the week of Pesach, and afterwards, the assumption is nobody else is going to take it during that time, and then you get it back afterwards.
But when you sell to the goy.
So that's the thing. We don't rely on only bittul because d'rabbanan, they don't want us to do that because shemi yimtze gluska yofa. So the result is that the chachamim said you have to destroy your chametz or sell it to the guy. Exactly. And when you sell it to the guy, it's true that it is also, practically speaking, it ends up being a time-limited sale, because the way we do it is we tell the guy, you pay a down payment, and if you don't pay the balance within 10 days or whatever it is, then it reverts to us, and then we'll reimburse you your down payment. But nevertheless, there is still the option of the goy to pay off the full amount and to keep the chametz forever. So it is considered a real sale. That's different than if he pays off the balance. Yeah, the deal is structured that we say this chametz, the chametz that I'm selling. It used to be, by the way, it used to be more common that people sold their chametz individually to the goy. Even in the time of the Alter Rebbe, the Reb Shlomo Yosef Zevin has an interesting discussion in Hamoridim Bahalacha about the evolution of Mechiras Chametz. It didn't used to be a regular thing at all. It used to be a one-off thing. If you had, usually a person would arrange to get rid of their chametz before Pesach. Usually a person would arrange to get rid of their chametz before Pesach. And if it happened on an off chance, let's say, for example, a Bryce gives an example where a person is on a ship and he didn't have a chance to get rid of his chametz before Pesach, so he sells it as a one-off to a goy. Over time, it developed, especially as it happened that Jews were going into the business of selling mashke, and you have supplies of it that they can't easily get rid of before Pesach, they need it for right after Pesach. So then they developed the concept of selling it to a goy. But for hundreds of years, the minhag was that people did it on an individual basis. You would go over to a goy who you know, and you would arrange the sale with him. So then you ended up with all kinds of problems with that. So actually, in the generation after the Alter Rebbe, in the generation of the Tzemach Tzedek and the other Chachamim of his times, they started making it that instead the Rav of the community sells it on behalf of everybody. And you had, there was a good deal of machlokas, by the way, at that point. It was not accepted right away. No innovation in halacha gets accepted right away. There's always discussion and argument about the pros and cons of it. So many of the Chachamim of that time actually argued that it shouldn't be valid to do that, because then it's more clearly a harama. You're more clearly doing it as a trick to get out of Bal Yiro or Bal Yimotzeh. But nevertheless, eventually it became accepted, and that's how we do. We have the Rav arrange the sale with the goy. But fundamentally, the mechanism of it is, you're telling the goy, we have, so let's say now that the Rav is doing it, the Rav tells the goy, all together, between all the people who are selling their chametz to me, we have $1 million worth of chametz over here. I know you don't have $1 million cash on the barrel head. You give us a down payment of 1,000, let's say. Really? Now, yeah, let's say, whatever the amount is. Whatever, yeah. You give us a down payment. The deal is, you have 10 days to come up with the rest of the cash. If you do, then you get to keep all the chametz. Yeah. Calm down. If you don't want to or whatever, then after 10 days you can we'll take back our chametz, and you will return you your $1,000, and we'll give you a little something extra for your trouble. That's the basic mechanism of mechiras chametz. So now it is a fully valid sale. All it is, the sale it's a sale with a return clause. That's all. But while it's a sale, it's still a valid sale. The Alter Rebbe makes a point. It has to be valid d'oraisa, because otherwise you're over on Bal Yiro Bal Yimotzeh, which is an Isser d'oraisa.
Can I ask a question on that?
Yes, but then let's finish the Gemara. Yeah.
I'll finish the Gemara. I'll ask you.
Okay, so the Gemara asked Mace. I have a contradiction on all of this, though. A b'raisa says, Hamafkir es karmoi. Suppose a person declares his vineyard hefker, the next morning he himself goes and starts harvesting from the vineyard. So showing, in other words, that he changed his mind and doesn't want it to be hefker anymore. Chayev beperet, he's still chayev in all the matnas aniyim from this vineyard, because unlike meiser, where once it became hefker, then you potter, matnas aniyim, you're still chayev even if it was hefker at some point. So peret is, if you drop individual grapes while you're harvesting them, then they belong to the poor. It's like leket with grain. One or two, yeah. Over olalus, you have an olalus, which is undeveloped, not fully developed clusters of grapes. They don't have the normal shape and whatever of a cluster of grapes. Or a shikha, and if you forget something, well, you have to leave it for the aniyim, or a payah, and you chayiv and payah, or potter, and a maaser, however, you will be potter from maaser. So, b'shleim al ula, so according to ula's understanding of the previous braisa, so we said that the chachamim would say that really once you machu it, it really leaves your reshus right away, and only that the chachamim impose the 3-day waiting period. So, d'rabbanan katani la, or d'araisa katani la. So we're going to say that the braisa is talking about the din derab, the first braisa is talking the din derabbanan. We have 3 days where it's not yet hefker. And the second braisa is talking us about what happens d'araisa, that the hefker was chal, and therefore you're potter from maisa. Elo l'Rish Lakish, but according to Rish Lakish, amai potter min amai. So according to Rish Lakish, who understood that the first braisa was according to Rabbi Yossi, so even mid d'araisa, it's still considered his until somebody else takes it over. Amai potter min amai. So why should he be potter from maisa? According to Rabbi Yossi, the hefker was in effect. And the answer is, amalachki amriano l'Rabbi Yossi. You're right. Rish Lakish is going to have to say, I was talking only according to Rabbi Yossi. I'm going to have to say that this last braisa we just quoted is according to the Chachamim. You're right, Rish Lakish says Rabbi Yossi would in fact disagree with this braisa and would say that this field would still be chayev in Maaser as well, because the hefker hasn't taken effect yet, because nobody else took possession of it yet, and until somebody else takes possession, it still belongs to him yet.
Let's go
now, as far as Lulav and Esrog, so Lulav and Esrog, actually, we have something else. Okay. One second. We just said the piece of Gemara, but wait. No, that's tomorrow. Relax. As far as Lulav and Esrog, I mean, you're not mafku it. Lulav and Esrog is something else. That's Matona Manas Lahaster. When we get to Matna Space Chordon and Daf Memches, then we will talk about how that fits with Matona Manas Lahaster. Right now, we're talking about Hefter.
Rabbi, once you give an answer to this,